Welcome to The Warcast, your geopolitical briefing that tells you what you need to know, when you need to know it. The Warcast is for War on the Rocks members only. Spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to sign up at warontherocks.com/subscribe.
Earlier this month, Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri resigned from office. Oddly, he resigned while in Riyadh with his family, raising rumors that Saudi Arabia forced him to resign. Hariri stated that there were threats to him and his family. The Lebanese parliament did not accept his resignation, and there are constitutional questions about the validity of his resignation and his subsequent rescinding of that resignation. And I then traveled to Paris and is expected back in Beirut this week. To unpack all of this, I'm speaking with Aram Nergizyan from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. So welcome, Aram. And let's begin with the events that led to Hariri's resignation in the first place.
Well, you've had a cycle over the course of the Syrian civil war of heightening regional tension and competition between two regional powerhouses, Saudi Arabia and Iran. And with that, you had shifts in leadership in Riyadh. You had a firming of the position of the Iranians in terms of how they should and could support their allies in the form of the Assad regime and Hezbollah. And in all of this, you had a Lebanon that remained divided in terms of the mix of forces that were trying to influence outcomes in Lebanon. Through all of this, Prime Minister Hariri has tried as best as he can, or as best as he could have, to manage the mix of pressures that I described, which meant trying to mitigate pressure from Iran to make Lebanon an even more active component in its strategic deterrent with Israel, trying to manage a mix of expectations from patrons like Saudi Arabia that expect at least some degree of resistance to Iran's ambitions in Lebanon and the broader region, and the fact that you have a divided but still somewhat focused mix of countries and the International Support Group for Lebanon that have been trying to keep Lebanon as far away from the crisis in Syria and the mix of other zones of confrontation across the Middle East. And it's not an enviable position to be in for any head of government, and it's been incredibly demanding and difficult for Prime Minister Hariri. And it looks as though the current mix of leadership in Riyadh decided that it was more in their favor to have a mix of allies in Beirut that were far more aggressive, far more focused on confronting what they perceived, what Riyadh perceived to be as Iran's aspirations in Lebanon. And it's pretty much unanimous now in Lebanon that this was not a traditional resignation. Normally, resignations take place in country, in Lebanon. This would be a first in terms of a resignation from overseas. That's already given grounds to the president, Michel Aoun, to not accept Saad Hariri's resignation. You haven't had the mix of consultations that normally would take place when you have a resignation to appoint a caretaker government. And basically, you have a mix of often very divided Lebanese and Lebanese factions coalesce on the idea, bizarrely, for the Saudis, that this move by their prime minister was under some form of duress, whether explicit or implicit, and that they want him to come home. So far, it's not clear whether this means that there will be some attempt for Hariri to resume his official duties, whether he will just arrive in Lebanon in time for Independence Day tomorrow and basically there offer his resignation before or after proceedings. None of this is clear. None of this is certain. But you have countries like the United States that frankly have been scrambling to find any way to unring the bell. Because from a U.S. perspective, Hariri is a reliable ally and partner in the broader mix of divisions within the Middle East, a country leader who can at least present some degree of discourse tied to unity and national unity. And they don't see, the U.S. doesn't see a easy alternative, at least at the present, to a Hariri premiership. And a lot of the assumptions driving Riyadh's decision remain somewhat veiled, even to the mix of senior leadership at state Department of Defense, who have a vested interest in continuity and stability in a Lebanon that has gradually come out of the specter of Syrian civil war.
If we can talk a little bit about Saudi Arabia, I mean, I won't ask you to speculate on what their actual role was in Hariri's resignation, there were some peculiar events that occurred, right? I mean, there was the police greeted his plane, took his phone, and even when he traveled to Paris, his children had stayed behind in Riyadh. How were the rumors and the speculation of Saudi Arabia's role in the resignation being received in Lebanon?
Initially, you had shock. This idea that any state, whether it's Saudi Arabia or any other regional player, could appear to engineer a resignation like this, and with such a bold-faced approach to it all in terms of the public rhetoric from Saudi officials, it seemed to have the opposite effect that if anybody wanted to galvanize public opinion around the Saudi decision, it had the opposite effect of achieving that. It did far more to fuel the rumors and speculations you described. It did far more to congeal the idea that the Saudis didn't really have a strategy. The notion that this had backfired somehow and did far more damage to Saudi foreign policy prerogatives, something that has been described to me by one senior official as a own goal in terms of the impact that it's had in terms of strengthening Hezbollah and its narrative. And Hezbollah, ironically, has come out trying to behave like the adult in all of this, calling for calm, calling for de-escalation, whereas the dominant perspective, whether people like it or not, within Lebanon has become one where the Saudis are viewed as having jumped the gun, having not thought this out. And it's not clear whether there is an underlying strategy. But if there is one, neither the Lebanese see it, really, beyond some form of escalation with Iran, but escalation to where? And here in the U.S., the same questions also abound. So the optic of what the Saudis have tried to do and the rumor mill that surrounds it has done far more to damage Saudi prestige and credibility. It hasn't undermined the perception that this is a very activist leadership in Riyadh, that if anything, that idea has been very clearly communicated to everyone. But activist to what end remains the defining question in Lebanon and beyond.
If we could turn to the questions of constitutionality of the resignation and then the reneging on that, could you speak to the, you know, was the resignation legal? I mean, the president and legislature didn't accept it, but could you just expound on that a bit?
Well, for first, I should caveat that I'm not a constitutional expert by any measure. What I can say and what I am comfortable commenting on is that it's highly irregular. Within Lebanon's entire history, and we're talking even with two civil wars, 58 and then again in 75 to 1990, something like this hasn't happened before. Nominally, a prime minister presents his resignation to the president. By virtue of this resignation taking place on a Saudi national television channel, not even the Hariri-affiliated Future TV as a direct source, you had grounds to question the validity of the resignation. Again, somebody with a very narrow constitutional law background in the context of Lebanon could go into far more detail.
Sure.
But it's clear from a lay perspective, the average Lebanese saw this and said, this is unusual. And then you had a president and parliament that also pounced on this idea to basically suspend any immediate action. You did have a few voices that seemed to push for consultations, but they were a very narrow mix of actors who, frankly, have been far more focused on escalating against Iran, or at least having some degree of regional escalation. But that was a minority view. The majority view in parliament and government was that By law, Saad Hariri, as the sitting prime minister, should return to Lebanon, present his resignation in person, if that is his true intent, to the president. And only then would it be considered binding and legal.
So, I don't want to get too much into what ifs, but if we can just, about the political conditions around this, right? So let's say that Hariri stays. He comes back to Beirut and he does not tender his resignation. Is his position stronger or weaker after this?
It's a bit like Schrodinger's cat. You have to look under the box to see if the cat's alive or dead. In this case, it's a bit of both. These events have turned initially the Hariri premiership into a tragic story. But from that tragedy, you had a groundswell of sympathy that I think caught many members of Hariri's own future movement off guard. You had a great deal of sympathy for him, but also for what the office of the prime minister tentatively represents to most Lebanese. And don't get me wrong, the Lebanese are used to having deals or grand bargains made in capitals around the world. The 1989 Taif agreement was basically a mix of Lebanese legal language with external inputs. But the fact that it was done ostensibly with little to no consultations and done in a very, very accelerated way, it's turned into a boon for Hariri in terms of his legitimacy and credibility. But there is still the fact that he did appear to resign. How he would walk that back, how do you claw back not just national credibility but international legitimacy? It's going to be a question for the art of the possible. We'll have to see about that. But one thing is clear: you do have countries like the U.S., key partners in Europe, including the U.K., France, Germany, and regional Arab states like Egypt that have made it a point that they will aggressively pursue as much as they can an avenue for at least some kind of a return to normalcy in terms of Lebanon's governance and stability. And yes, they have a preference to find some way to unring the bell as far as the resignation is concerned. So we'll have to watch closely and see what happens next without speculating beyond the rumor mill that is already very active in Beirut.